أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته، وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام: لولا حضور الحاضر وقيام الحجة بوجود الناصر وما أخذ الله على العلماء ألا يقاروا على كظة ظالم ولا صغب مظلوم لألقيت حبلها على غاربها. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد.
The distinguishing features of this great personality are not one or two. They are several, and definitely we can't cover all of those in this short time. I would like to mention just three of those features in this short speech. The first one is the fact that he stood for what he himself called, because he was a statesman and he used to introduce new terminologies into this world. So the first thing is what he stood for, the pure Muhammadan Islam, al-Islam al-Muhammadiyul Asil, Islam al-Nabi Muhammadi, how we say in Farsi, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad.
Islam is one standard Islam. Why in the world do we stand in need of adding an adjective to say the pure Muhammadan Islam? Is there any other brand of Islam available? Why do we need to use those terms? What are we up to? What do you want to distinguish? There were people, and there are still some, who used to use the statement of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib alayhi salam, "Ana Rabbul Ibil wa inna lil bayti Rabban." I am the Lord of the camel, and certainly the house has a Lord. And there were people, and they are still, who have been misusing the statement of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib alayhi salam to justify what they are doing towards the zalimeen and tawaghit. So whereas my teacher, Ayatollah Jawadi Amuri, hafizahullah, in his tafsir, let me first tell you the exact Persian statement of my teacher. For those of you who can understand Persian, my teacher said that ba amadane aye yek mutafakkir dini majaz nis ke beguyad man sahib shutaram wa bayad dar mal khud talash kunam ba sahib khane khune ra hifz mikunad. After the revelation of the verse, he's talking about the verse from Suratul Anfal, where Allah talks about who has the right to become mutawalli and the caretaker of the Holy Kaaba. In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. My teacher said, after the verse has been sent down on the Prophet, no one has the right to say that I don't care about what's going to happen to the house of God, because God, you know, is going to take care of his house himself. And we run away and escape from our responsibility. So there were people, and there are still some people who used to escape from their responsibility. Whereas Amir al-Mu'mineen in his khutbah al-Shiqshiqiyya is very clear when he says, Lawla Hudur al-Hadir wa Qiyam al-Hujjah bi Wujud al-Nasir, when all those people showed up on the fourth place. And now obviously the hujjat and evidence of Allah is completed. So he's gonna, you know, perform his duty now. And apart from that, وَمَا أَخَذَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْعُلَمَاءِ, what Allah has taken, he's talking about the covenant that has been taken by Allah from the scholars not to stay silent and not to allow the zalim person to keep his stomach full and the mazloom and oppressed person to go hungry. It's the job of the scholars to take a step. But you find there were some in the Islamic Ummah who are not doing this responsibility. So this is the reason, this is one of the reasons why he had to use the adjective and add the adjective of the pure Muhammadan Islam. The Islam of the Holy Prophet, what does that stand for? You know, in the Hausa of Qum, there were certain scholars who were doing istikhara. When Shah La'natullah alayhi, he captured Imam Khomeini, they were doing istikhara. Shall we protest over the zulm? Do you do istikhara for, shall I pray Salatul Fajr tomorrow? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already told us what's the ruling about the Salatul Fajr, it's wajib. We never do istikhara about the wajibs, isn't it right? Are you going to do istikhara, shall I do ghibat tomorrow? This is haram, we all know it. Isn't it right? Bil adillatil arba'a, all the four manabe of Islam are making ghibat and backbiting haram and forbidden. So you don't do istikharas for a wajib or a haram or a mustahab. Shall I go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein? And has the thawab of 90 hajj of Rasulullah. No need to do the istikhara, it's already told. Or shall I pray salatul layl? Or about any other makruh in Islam. We do istikhara for the mubahat. So there were people who were doing istikhara. Shall we protest over the zulm? So by now you fail to understand what does the Holy Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt and Nahjul Balagha has to say about the zulm and the zalim and our responsibility against the zalim? Is that what you understand about Islam? So there were several people, who were even silent over the occupation of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Isn't it right? And then you find people furnishing excuses. No, those guys belong to such and such sect of Islam. You know, do you think Masjid al-Aqsa is also a Sunni masjid? Or a Nasibi masjid? It's the Masjid of Islam. Masjid is the house of God. And today if we go silent over the occupation of Al-Masjid al-Aqsa in Bayt al-Muqaddas, Jerusalem, then the next step, which is already announced, Al-Israel al-Kubra, the greater Israel, is to expand, to take up Medina and Makkah and Najaf and Karbala, Nile to Euphrates. And trust me, a lot would have been silent even over the usurping of Najaf and Karbala and Medina and Makkah because we are silent over Masjid al-Aqsa. Isn't it right? So this is how you have to define the lines. So you find, you know, there were some people who were silent over the atrocities of the enemies of Islam, specifically the Zionists. And there were some people who were separating religion from politics as if it's not even part of Islam. Are you trying to reinvent the wheel? Are you here to make a new religion? The religion of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is the religion where Islam and politics is one. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam says, you know, al-Islam wa sultano tawamane. Islam and government are twins. That means inseparable. Fal-Islam usun wa sultano haris. So Islam is the foundation and the government is the protector. Fama la usalahu yuhdam. Something that doesn't have a foundation gets devastated, collapses. وَمَا لَا حَارَسَ لَهُ ضَائِعٍ, and something that doesn't have a protector gets wasted. This is the kind of Islam some people were following. The story that you heard, just heard from the brother, you know, the wazir of Shah, la'natullah alayh, Shah didn't know who was Imam Khomeini. Why would he know? He was not in that circle. He asked his wazir, who is Khomeini? And the Wazir said to him, you remember when you visited Ayatollah al-Uzma Burujerdi in the house of Qom? And at the time you entered into gathering, all those scholars who were sitting at that time in the hall, all of them stood up in your respect except one person. He said, yeah, I remember that. That one is Khomeini. You cannot say, no, everyone is the same. No, everyone is not the same. Everyone is not the same. You have to distinguish between those who are protesting against the zulm and those who are not protesting against the zulm. It's a fine line. Because Allah says, فَضَّلَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah gave the fadilat and superiority to those who are mujahideen over those who are sitting. So you find the head of the intelligence, Sawak, General Pakrawan, he once showed up and said to the Imam that, you know what, Shah is a Shia, and you are a mujtahid, naib, deputy of the Imam, and it doesn't make any sense for a person like you to rise up against your own fellow mu'min Shia brother. And also, politics, siyasat is najis. And a person like you, who is a holy man, it doesn't add up that you, do the siyasat and politics because it's najis. And apart from that, if you happen to establish an Islamic government because you are a Shia, it's going to cause divisions between the Islamic Ummah because Sunnis will feel upset. So Imam says in his response that if Shah is a Shia, and if the way you are saying that I am a mujtahid, obviously, and I am the deputy according to what you said, then Shah is supposed to follow me and cannot expect me to follow him. And is siyasat and politics najis for only me, or is also najis for him? And then he said that if someone makes your house dirty, you don't leave your house. You take the trash out of your house and throw it outside. So when our Islamic government is established, we are going to eliminate the differences and those people who are causing differences in the ranks of the Muslim brothers, and we will stand for the unity in the Islamic Ummah. This is how you find that he has been doing. So now obviously you find the problem in these types of matters is that there were people who actually went to far more extreme. There are some people who did tahreem, who said it's haram to participate in the lectures, Bahsul Kharij, Dars-e Kharij of Khomeini, because he talks about politics. You can go to that extreme that you call it haram to participate in a lecture? So, on the day of Saqifa, what exactly was taken by those people from Imam Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam? Did they manage to take the deen of Imam Ali? No. No one has the power to take the deen and religion from Imam Ali alayhi salam. They took away the kursi, the government, the siyasat. Isn't it right? No one can dare take the religion from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Then why do you disagree with those people who take away the kursi and the government if you think that government has nothing to do with Islam? This is how far we have gotten from the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So this revolution in Iran is a revival where Imam Khomeini reconnected the Islamic Ummah with the walayat of Ghadir of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So, the second most important aspect that distinguishes him from the rest is his irfan. People say his revolution is the biggest service. I respectfully disagree. Revolution is just one of the long list of services that he has done. The biggest aspect of his personality that distinguishes him from the rest is his level of ma'rifat and irfan of Imam Sahibuz Zaman alayhi salam. According to my teacher, Ayatollah Jawadi Hafizahullah, he said that Imam Ridwanullah Alayh reached Kamalul Inqita' that we read in Munajat Sha'baniyya. Munajat Sha'baniyya is one of those du'as that every member of Ahlul Bayt recited. It's one of those unique and precious du'as, although all the du'as our precious Imam Khomeini used to call the du'as of Ahlul Bayt to be Al-Qur'an al-Sa'id. This Qur'an that me and you have in our hands is called Al-Qur'an al-Nazil, the descending Qur'an. Whereas the du'as of Ahlul Bayt, because he was an arif, you know, I wish the Islamic Ummah only learned their religion from those who are arif. And our destinies would change for good, forever. I wish. So he used to call the du'as of Ahlul Bayt as Al-Qur'an al-Sa'id, the ascending Qur'an. You know, it's no less than the Holy Qur'an, the du'as of Ahlul Bayt. Why would that be less? Because your statement can become less if you are afraid about the mental level of the audience. Or the speaker himself is not of the caliber to speak the high stuff. In this case of the du'as, the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are the most perfect reflections of every single name and attribute, the names of beauty and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the audience is Allah himself. Why would the kalam and statement, the du'as, would be less than the value of Quran? So you find he reached the kamal al-inqita', breaking away from everything. You know, I was just talking to some brothers last night, and I mentioned the sentence of my teacher, Ayatollah Jawadi, Har anche kharij az janast muzahim ast. Everything which is other than your soul is an obstacle in the way of reaching close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kamal al-inqita' means you need to give talaq, break away from everything of the world of matter. And just like you see in Cape Canaveral, we in Florida, we used to have the space shuttles departing from Cape Canaveral. You find things that are holding up the rockets, and then there are boosters from the bottom, isn't it right? In Islam, the boosters are the salat, because Prophet ﷺ has said, As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. Prayers are the mi'raj and ascension of a mu'min. So the prayers are not going to work as long as you are attached with the world of matter in its temporary attachments. You need to first detach yourself from its temporary belongings and then allow your salat to lift you up to the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how it's work. Isn't it right? So we find that this is the kind of tawakkul that he says, Wallah ta'kunun az ghayri khudana ta'sidam. Easier said than practiced. I swear to Allah, see, there's a penalty. He's saying, Wallah, if you breach your promise, there's a penalty. If you go against it, or if you're lying, you're faking, there's a penalty in Islam. So he says, I swear to Allah, I haven't got afraid from anyone other than Allah in my life. So my teacher has a right to say that he reaches Kamal al-Inqita'. إلهي هب لي كمال الانقطاع إليك وأنر أبصار قلوبنا بضياء نظرها إليك حتى تخرق أبصار القلوب حجب النور فتصل إلى معدن العظمة. That's why I said I wish from the bottom of my heart that our Islamic Ummah, you know, just follow a person who has ma'rifat and irfan of the Imam. That kind of scholars deserve to be followed. You know, Ayatollah Al-Uzma Sheikh Jawad Tabrizi, Sheikh Jawad Maliki Tabrizi, rahmatullah alayh, was one of the top-notch urafa in the entire history of Shia faith. They have a glorious past. And he was delivering his dars-e-kharij on the subject of fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence. In the middle, he started to talk about irfan. And one of the students raised his voice. He said, teacher, we came here to learn Islamic jurisprudence from you, whereas you started to talk about irfan. And he replied, all the problems of Islamic Ummah are because of the fact that our irfan got separated from our fiqh. Such a great response. I really love to mention this sentence. So if there was irfan, our perspectives would be different because the hijabat are removed, isn't it right? He was Ahlul Haqiqat because he used to consider Sharia with the Zahir has to be in the service of tariqat, which is the batin of the shara, and then combining the sharia and tariqat together to take you towards the destination, which is haqiqat. Isn't it right? Ash-shari'atu aqwali wa tariqatu af'ali wal haqiqatu ahwali. Didn't the Prophet say that? Wal ma'rifatu ra'su mali. So, and that's what he used to say to the Sufis in America right now. You find that they are There are lobbies who are promoting Sufism as the official representative of Islam because they are mute towards the taghuts and zalimeen. That's the kind of Islam they love to see from us. So Imam used to say to the Sufis, how would you be Ahlul Tariqah, Ahlul Tariqat, which is the button of the Sharia, when you did not even practice the Sharia in its totality? Because you cannot reach the batin without totally practicing the zahir. So you need to be ahlul batin. And not just that, but also you find that because of this kamalul inqita, just like his imam, just like Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam said, لَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِي مَلْجَأٌ وَلَا مَأْوَى لَمَا بَايَعْتُ يَزِيدَ ابْنَ مُعَاوِيَةَ. If I have no place for refuge, I would still not do the oath of allegiance towards Yazid, son of Muawiyah. This is Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then you find there are some people who, when you talk about Imam Hussein, they start bringing Imam Hassan alayhi salam as if they're trying to say that Imam Hassan is different from Imam Hussein. What are you trying to say? No, we followed the footsteps of Imam Hassan. What do you mean by that? Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein are part of one nur. Al-Hassan wal-Hussein, imaman qama aw qa'ada. Imam Hussein was part of the sulh. And if Imam Hassan was alive at the time of Karbala, he would have done exactly the same and said exactly what Imam Hussein said, because they are part of one nur. Imam Hassan is not the person who's inclined towards sulh, as some interpret. Because he's the one says, Wallahi law wajadtu ansaran la qataltuhu layli wa nahari. I swear to Allah, if I had found companions, supporters, I would have fought against him, that is Muawiyah, day in and day out, night and day. The same Imam Hassan, some people end up saying that he is inclined towards sulh. No, our Imams are neither inclined towards war, nor they're inclined towards sulh and peace. They are inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wants, to defend Islam, they would defend Islam. If Allah wants them to enter into a ceasefire and truce agreement, they would do that. Because they, represent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he returns back and surface-to-air missiles were installed in Mehrabad airport, this is about tawakkul. Tawakkul in Islam means that you first do your fariza, your divine obligation, and then leave the result upon Allah. He used to say, "Ma mukallaf bi wazifeen." نَحْنُ مُكَلَّفُونَ بِالْفَرِيضَةِ لَسْنَ مُكَلَّفِينَ بِالنَّتِيجَةِ. We are obliged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to focus on the divine duty, not to care about the result. The result is the domain of Allah. Let's not penetrate into his domain. He's doing his job, Imam Hussein is successful, whether he becomes shaheed, Yazid reigns into power for next 2 years, because Imam Hussein did his faridah. So Imam comes back from Paris, and they install surface-to-air missiles, 20,000 army men stationed at Mehrabad, and you find 4.5 million humans, ocean of humanity, pouring into the small Mehrabad airport, and you don't even find where those 20,000 soldiers went. This is called tawakkul. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. When you do your duty towards Allah, some of the people are doing tawakkul. In Arabic, there's a difference between tawakkul and tawakkul. Tawakkul is done after you fulfill your faridah, you leave the result on Allah, and tawakkul means you escape from your responsibility, and you put your burden on someone else, and you think, let him do the job. The last thing before I end my speech is, he was Ahlul Ishq. He had the deep love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the deep love of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And had it not been for his deep love, you find, he would not achieve what he achieved. The fourth travel of the soul, fil khalq bil haqq. Isn't it right? So this is how he returns back after his levels of purification to serve the mahrumeen and mazloomeen. This is how he served. Mahamiya, hamiya mustadafane jahani. We are the supporters of all the oppressed masses. Let's suppose there's a Jew being oppressed somewhere. In our beautiful religion, Islam, we will stand to support that Jew who is oppressed. And if there is a Shia person who's oppressing somebody somewhere, we are going to condemn that Shia person over his oppression. This is the kind of fairness-based principles that we have. Before I end my speech,
Just a couple of takeaway messages for my respectable brothers and sisters. One is ittisal bil walaya, staying in touch with the leadership. You find there are so many, there were some people who were so good, but they got disconnected from the leadership, and now you find, where do they belong? I don't want to go in details. Because they lost their connection with the walayat. Connection with walayat is just like ittisal bil kur. You know, you keep getting corrected, you keep getting the lutf and barakat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you are connected with the leadership. And second of all, what I would like to say, what the great shaheed in our Middle East has said, نحن على خط إمامنا الخميني نؤمن بالقاعدة التي سنها هذا الإمام اقتلونا فإن شعبنا سيعي أكثر فأكثر. We on the path of our Imam say and believe in the principle that he has settled and established, that kill us, and we, our people, our community, our ummah will become more and more aware. Keep on being a supporter of the walayat of Faqidah. There is no harm coming in the way of the Islamic government. Part of Ahlul Bayt and the walayat is a part of sacrifice. Get ready for the sacrifice. I will end my speech on the dua. You know, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. Thank you.